The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, November 22nd. I'm Trinity Nuri for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. There's a long-standing so-called rule about retirement, the 4% rule. Spend no more than 4% of your savings in the first year. Then adjust that amount to keep pace with inflation. But the 4% rule and the math behind it may be changing.
A lot of people who predict market returns are thinking that we're going to be in for a period of lower returns than we've had in the past.
So what are the new rules for spending in retirement? Coming up, our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson, will be here to walk us through what experts are saying. That's after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
For decades, millions of retired Americans have relied on the 4% rule. It's the conventional wisdom that retirees should spend no more than 4% of their savings in the first year of retirement. But new research suggests that rule may need an adjustment so that retirees can make sure their money lasts. Here to help us understand the new research on retirement spending is WSJ retirement reporter Ann Turgeson. Hi, Ann. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
First, Ann, bring us up to speed. Why has the 4% rule been common financial advice for retirees over the years?
So it dates back to the early 90s when a financial planner named Bill Bangen discovered by using computer simulations of past returns that, you know, dating back to 1926, which is the year where we start having kind of credible returns for the financial markets, he discovered that a portfolio, half stocks and half bonds, US, would have allowed a 4% withdrawal over all the possible 30-year retirement periods between 1926 and the 1990s. And that has actually proven out even up to the present. So it's just become sort of a rule of thumb that financial advisors use and recommend for their clients.
But now some advisors are suggesting a change. What are they proposing instead of 4%, and what's the reasoning?
So this comes from some sort of analysts at Morningstar, which is a big financial research company. And what they're doing is, instead of looking at past returns, they're looking at projections for future returns. And with bond yields so low and with stock valuations so high, I think a lot of people who predict market returns are thinking that we're going to be in for a period of lower returns than we've had in the past. So when you plug in lower future returns into the models, it looks like the safe withdrawal rate, the one that would enable you to make your money last for 30 years, is more like 3.3% rather than 4%. So, you know, again, that's premised on the idea of people having like a 30-year retirement. If you, you know, retire at 75 and you're pretty sure that your time horizon is going to be more like 20 years, then, you know, you can take a higher withdrawal rate.
Okay. So these experts are suggesting a number closer to 3.3%. But what if I think that rate is too low and I'll need more money each year after I retire?
I have to emphasize this is for a 30-year horizon. So I think it makes a lot of sense for people who are in their 60s to plan for a 30-year horizon. I mean, unless they know that their health isn't going to enable them to live for 30 years, there's a lot of actuarial data that shows that particularly for married couples, 30-year horizons can make a lot of sense. So it's just the idea of being prudent. So yes, so if 3.3% is not enough for you, then there are different ways that you can take a higher amount. And, you know, generally they boil down to this principle of like the 3.3% rule. What you do is you take 3.3% of your portfolio out in year one. So if you have like a $1 million portfolio, that means you get to spend $33,000 in year one. And then you take that $33,000 and you adjust it in year two for the inflation rate. So you're enabling your real income to remain the same and not to be eroded by inflation over time. And then in year two, you adjust again for inflation. So that said, there are ways to kind of vary that, to take a higher amount, you know, rather than 3.3%, to take something higher, more like 3.7%. If when the market goes down, you decide, you know what, I'm not going to adjust my income for inflation. I'm just going to keep it steady for those 2 years in nominal terms. So that's an example of a way that people can take more if they're willing to take less when their portfolio gets hit by, you know, negative returns from stocks or bonds.
So the idea of watching how the market moves and changing what I withdraw based on its performance, are there risks to that strategy?
Any retirement saving strategy that's based on market returns obviously has risks, right? So number one, you don't know how long you're going to live. You know, you might be conservative and think you're going to live for 30 years, and then you might live longer. And that's a risk. You know, that means that you're more likely to run out of money. So there's longevity. You don't know market returns, right? I mean, you know, people have been saying for at least 10 years now that we're in for a period of future lower returns. Well, they haven't shown up yet. So it's hard to gauge. You don't know if you're going to be lucky and one of those retirees who kind of retires at the start of a bull market, or if you're going to be one of those retirees who's unlucky and, you know, you're going to retire when things are looking great, but then we head into like a prolonged kind of period of lower returns or a bear market. So those are two of the risks of kind of basing your strategy on a portfolio tied to the stock market in particular. I think there is a good argument for people, if they can, to delay claiming Social Security, because that enables you to lock in a higher permanent, you know, guaranteed income with it's also adjusted for inflation. And so if you're able to draw a higher income from Social Security, you take the pressure off of your portfolio to produce, you know, X amount. You need less from your portfolio, which enables it to last longer. So that's sort of a good strategy to use to try to reduce some of those risks.
All right. That's WSJ retirement reporter Ann Turgeson, and great insight.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Trina Nuri for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.